If you send enough Satoshi, she could feel my warm embrace.
Weird. Welcome, everybody, to Beer, Bourbon, and Balderdash.
We didn't even
do any kind of like pre-show talk. We didn't
fluff each other.
No, we just okay.
Pause.
Anyway,
not that we ever do.
Anyways, stop. It's long distance, buddy. It's a long fluff.
It's not that long. It's a very appropriate size.
How you doing, John?
I'm doing all right. Better now that I get to talk to your face.
Yeah, it's good. That's good.
Actually, I'm good. I'm good. I mean, yeah. All jokes aside, yeah, I'm pretty good, I think.
Well, work's going well.
Yeah, we sold some stuff.
Oh, cool.
I'm generally amazing. I got told actually at work. This is funny. I got told. So I told you before, and I think I've said it on the podcast for our longtime listener, Tim. Might have heard this before. Oh, and Trina, sorry, TTs, our producers. That in one of my reviews early on,
they told me
they said like one of the things I bring to the table is that I bring a very calming presence to the office.
Yeah,
which I thought was pretty funny, and it's like, hilarious. Yeah, that tracks because I just like don't get all riled up and these kids.
Yeah, kids.
They're only kids because I'm old. I could be several of their fathers. That would be weird. But yesterday we were talking about interviewing and doesn't matter the backstory, but one of them at some point, one of the people on the team said, you know, John, I think I would love to be interviewed by you. I feel like you would just like make me feel very calm and safe in the interview. It's like, oh, all right. I think that's nice.
Yeah.
I guess.
Nice.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
I'll take it. That's fine.
Absolutely. That's funny. Well, that's good. So, that's good that, anyway. I mean, that you bring that. I hope that our listeners also feel your calming presence, that you bring a piece about you that is something that people appreciate here on Beer, Bourbon, and Balderdash.
If you send enough Satoshi, she could feel my warm embrace.
Weird.
That's called a hug, Wes. It's a hug.
Prostitution, John. No, hey, we all know that you're a hooker buyer.
That's the wrong side of that equation.
Oh, yeah, you're the hooker. This one. The warm embrace. If you send us Satoshis, we'll talk like this for an entire episode. Very sultry.
Oh, that's a lot of stuff. I don't think I can do that.
Try it. Try it right now.
Bread.
That's really sexy. Sexy bread, John.
Yep, I guess so. That's what I do.
I bring the sexy bread.
How are you, Wes?
I'm doing okay. I took the day off to go see my grandmother, my 94-year-old grandmother, who took another spill.
Oh.
And is in a nursing home rehab center.
Yeah.
So I took the day off and hung out and took my dad, because it's his mom, up there to visit. Mm-hmm. And she's such a nice lady. She's so positive. And, you know, even though she's seen a lot, right? I mean, almost 100 years worth of stuff. She's lived through a lot. And she just laughs. And she's just, she goes, you know, I'm just happy. I'm just happy to be here. And she just has such a positive attitude, and her mind is kind of in and out. And like, as we're talking about things, she kind of time travels and will go off somewhere else and talk about that in her mind. I think it's just her brain at a certain age, you know, you just start reconciling your past and talking about it, and, you know, kind of reliving things as you're getting older and kind of near the end, really. I think you just start reminiscing about stuff like that. So, so that was good. And I miss her. I haven't seen her since my mom's funeral, and I hadn't seen her since the beginning of COVID before that. Just 'cause you know, they're old and I didn't want to go over there just in case anything, just precautions. But it was really nice to spend the afternoon with her, and I hopefully I can get up there a few more times. And they don't know where she's going after this. She might not be going home. She might be going to assisted living or something like that. But yeah, but you know, she's a link to history. She's a link to your family's past, you know? So you have to listen to the stories, you know, cause she knows, she remembers my great, great grandmother and grandfather and can tell me stories about them. So she's a link. And you know, when you hear those things and those links, you got to pay attention. Fortunately, my dad has paid attention. So that's how my day went, and that's fine. Cause most people don't get to have grandparents till they're in their 90s. So I was kind of okay with that. I lost you. What's going on with Clean Feet here? Hold on. Something's happening here. I think we're glitching. It's on my side, so hold on here. Say something.
We froze. Your Wi-Fi signal dropped.
Okay, it's back.
It's red right now. Oh, okay, that's good.
Yeah, we're back. Okay. Well, that's great.
Okay. Well, we don't know where we left off. We got a little bit of a pause, technical challenge. But I was just going to say, like, when my grandparents died, at least on my grandpa, when he died, my grandma got cancer. She got pretty sick and went to the hospital. My grandpa died a month later. Mm-hmm. But up until that point, he was living at home, taking care of stuff. And as soon as he lost his reason to live, which was my grandmother, he was just, like, done with it. And his body just kind of gave up. He just stopped doing things. So. Yeah.
That's how it happens.
So glad you got to have that time with her, though.
Yeah.
And I love that she's so happy. I hope I'm that. Like, I hope I'm happy when I'm older, when I getting to that age where I have to be taken care of.
Me too. She's a sweetheart. And then I got an email today that my camera will be here on Friday.
Ooh.
So I'm very excited about that, with a new toy and a nice weekend ahead to take some photos, though Dana was quick to remind me I did promise I would make her a garden box. So I have to make sure I do that.
What if you took some like sexy selfies and sent them to her and said, "What about this for a garden box?"
Yeah. I don't.
Would you like me to plant some seeds?
I don't know. She'd like that, man.
Yeah, I don't know a lot of women would.
I can see her making a face like, yeah, that's not going to work for us.
I did, but now I'm going to go nap.
Yeah. Hey, real quick, we'll do it right now. I'm sporting my Mere Mortals t-shirt that I got from Kyron for donating over 100,000 Satoshis through Fountain.fm. If we were cool, we would also have such a program, but we're not. Oh, I got to send you something. I got to send you the vector file for the.
I can do the merchandising. I can do that.
But Kyron has a question about our last podcast.
Oh, yeah.
He says, "I wonder if the death of malls is just an American thing. I mean, definitely the deaths and shooting in malls. That's your favorite pastime. But I'm struggling to remember any big ones becoming disused here. I'm scratching my head, but I could just be too young or too unobservant. I don't know what the mall situation is like in Australia.
Do they have malls? So what I would say, though, is like, I feel like there's a resurgence in malls within cities. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, but the malls that were like out in the middle of nowhere, those ones are just like nobody goes to. Like, they're not destinations like they used to be. Mm-hmm. Now they're just like what's near, what's walking distance or quick ride or what's close.
Yeah.
And if they're farther than that, then nobody goes.
Yeah.
It does feel like they're reinventing themselves a little bit, though.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't know. That's a good question. I wonder if, like, with the rise of Amazon and the reliance on e-commerce people, and then COVID hitting, people are like, fuck this. I want to go somewhere. Let's go to the mall. It's something to do. It's somewhere to go.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
I mean, of course, some of the shops are getting better. Like there's a chain of, you know, Dave & Buster's.
Yep.
There's a chain of places here similar to that called Level 99.
Okay.
And they're all like, it's almost like obstacle course things that you have to do, like hold my beer while I try to navigate this. So it's like more interactive than just video games.
I like that.
I
like that.
And there's drinking.
Yeah.
like that.
We also got a comment from a I guess, a new listener, or they've never commented before. It's Jen in Indy. And she says, a hat tip to your wordplay. Morbidly clever hits my funny bone, and I'd rather go to the DMV than go to the mall. So that was hers. Thank you, Jen and Indy, for picking up on all of our idioms that we sprinkle throughout the last episode.
I got to say, that was pretty fun.
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun. It was fun because we were being sneaky, and it felt like we were doing something sneaky. Sneaky, good sneaky, for sure.
Yes. Yeah. It was hard at first because I just wanted to giggle the whole time.
That's what she said. So what are we drinking for beer tonight, Johnny?
No, usually it's only hard until she starts giggling. And it's no thanks. All right. So tonight. So this one's kind of fun. There's a connection between this beer and you and I that mm-hmm. I did not anticipate when I picked this up. Oh, yeah. I actually bought this beer during a trip to Knoxville.
Yep.
So this is Nudie's Honky Tonk West Coast IPA.
Love that place.
So what's the connection, Wes?
Dan and I danced all night to Troy Woods at Nudie's Honky Tonk when we went there last year or the year before in Nashville.
Yeah.
So I knew all about Nudie's.
I love it. I bought it because it says Nudie's, and I just thought that was funny. Nudie's Honky Tonk. That seemed like a local beer that I should have. Well, turns out it's that Honky Tonk you've been to, but I bought it at Curious Dog Hot Dogs and Sandwiches in Knoxville. they have like a big beer cooler for beer to go, and we got some hot dogs.
And it was the name that caught you. I know it is.
Yeah, I saw it. It was like Nudie's. Woo, that's for me.
Nudie's with a beautiful white Cadillac and a big longhorn on the front of it.
That's right. I didn't even skip a beat when I picked. I saw it and I just picked it up. I didn't like think about it. That's the one.
That's awesome.
So what's this can say? This one's a long one on it. So it's brewed and canned by R.S. Lippmann Brewing Company in Nashville.
Okay.
I don't know anything about them. So clearly it's contract brewed for Nudie's Honky Tonk. Says world famous Nudie's Honky Tonk, home to the longest bar in Nashville, boasts a collection of rare country music memorabilia worth millions of dollars. This includes iconic pop culture things. You can go read about it yourself. I'm not going to go through this because it has nothing to do with the beer. Check out Nudie's Mobile. Did you look up R.S. Lippmann? I didn't. I'm not going to bother. Let's pop this thing open and have a drink.
Shout out to Troy Woods. I wish Troy Woods would maybe get on the value for value, but here's a little snippet of one of his songs, if anyone's interested. We can put it right here. Sure don't get a venti cup
session. And I don't need can you hear me? Are we still on?
Yeah, we're still on.
I need to grab a towel.
Go grab a towel. Oh, okay, we'll listen to a little Troy Woods here. He was pretty awesome there in Nashville. He was playing a half hour melody of all 90s hits. And of course, being children of the 90s or high schoolers in the 90s, Dan and I, we just drank vodka and Red Bulls and danced and danced and danced and danced. And that was one of our favorite nights. John made a mess. And so he has left. No, he's wiping it up. His electronics are fuzzing out because they're all wet.
Yeah, well, fortunately, this keyboard was donated by Wayfair.
Oh.
Thank you, Wayfair.
Wayfair, you got what I need. Isn't that how it goes?
They got everything I need, something like that. They changed it. It's different now.
Oh.
New logo, new everything.
Mm. Should we play some...
Sorry about that.
Should we play some waiting music?
Well, I'm back.
Oh,
okay. So timing's wrong. Oh.
Whoopsie. Man. Okay. Nudie's Honky Tonk West Coast IPA.
Just like.
Do you even have any left, or is it all over?
I did. I got some.
Jeez, what a mess.
But, I mean, just like the first time I saw the Sears catalog, I made a mess all over my desk.
Oh, gross. Gross. No one wants to know that.
And that's your sex talk for the day.
Oh, my gosh. Mine was Fredericks of Hollywood.
I think mine was actually the Red Book.
They're going to show this? It's so funny with the Fredericks of Hollywood catalogs is that all these women were wearing like the bras without, you know, with the holes in the nipples.
Uh-huh.
But they were fuzzed out, or they had to put their fingers over their nipples.
Oh, yes.
In the photos. And you're like, oh my gosh, this is, you know, 10, 11 year old boy. You're like, heck yeah, look at that.
I actually, you know, my first interaction with naked things.
No.
At the age that I know you don't, cause you weren't there. but like we moved into this rental house, mm-hmm. and there was a big garage in the backyard.
Yeah.
That like the owner had stored some stuff in there, and I was like rooting around and stuff I shouldn't have been in, and I found a giant box of porn.
Cool. It was good porn.
Oh yeah. mean, yeah, it's great.
Amateur or professional?
Oh, pro. I mean, it was like Penthouse and things like that. Not videos. Yeah. So I made a little nest back there, and I would regularly go play by myself.
With myself. My first interaction, since we're on the topic, and we haven't even touched this beer yet, which is just too bad, was...
we can.
My grandpa is an old Navy guy. He was in World War II, and he had a pinup calendar from the 50s of this topless brunette on his workbench. And ooh. So as young as I could be, it was always there. He always was always this picture. I could walk in there and just look at it. She was taking off long satin gloves, and she had very large breasts
and no top.
Yeah.
So thanks, Grandpa.
Yeah. It was pretty nice. Tasteful.
Yeah. Tasteful.
All right. Nudies. Mm-hmm. Speaking of Nudies, Honky Tonk Beer.
Let's give it a go.
All right. Here we go.
It's got like a very tropical nose. Mm-hmm. I poured it in a glass and now it's very effervescent because I made a mess.
Yeah. Ooh, it's bitter, but it's not terrible bitter. It's like grapefruit bitter.
Yeah. It's very, very citrusy.
Yeah. I like it. It's not bad.
Yeah, it is. It definitely leans towards the bitter side of the malt profile. It is 6.5%, and is it a double? Just a West Coast IPA. I don't know why they're making West Coast IPAs in the East Coast.
Because it's the same reason why we like New England style here, I guess. It's not something that we normally get. I don't know.
That's fair.
I'm guessing. Ooh. It's a guess.
Let's see. Drink responsibly. That's what comes up. Oh, I accidentally clicked no. I thought they were asking me about cookies.
R.S. Lippmann also makes...
Excuse me.
They have other brands as well. They include Cielo Tequila, Heroes American Vodka, Country Club Vodka. That's an AI photo of a guy holding one of their bottles. That's funny. Old Hickory Bourbon, Honky Tonk Brewing, which is this, right? Yeah, this is Honky Tonk Brewing. They have a sour... They have Happ and Harry's Tennessee Beer, a Napa, Smith Brewery. Yeah.
This is not Honky Tonk Brewing.
Oh, it's not? It's just.
No, I looked it up. Honky Tonk Brewing is its own beer company. Honky Tonk Brewing brews Nudie's Honky Tonk Beer.
Oh,
it's a contract brew.
Gotcha.
So it's brewed by them, but it's not the same.
Their other brands are Little Harpeth Brewing, Napa Smith Pilsner, Turtle Anarchy Brewing, Hidden Jewel Wine.
Turtle Anarchy. I like that. That's good.
Lonely Cow Wine. Aww. Saturday Night Wine. Napa Smith Winery. Cava di Onidze. Chiaro Rosso. Dogliotti. La Chiara. This is wine. Ooh. Losi Winery. They got a lot of wine. I'm not going to read all these. But a lot of wine. And they have the Red Eye Texas Style Bloody Mary Mix. It's better when you call it red eye than pink eye.
Yeah. Well, if it's a red eye, you got problems.
If you got pink eye, you got problems.
Salve or something. Put some Vaseline on it.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's a pretty darn good beer.
Yeah, I think it's all right.
Yeah, I'm not upset. I'm not upset by it at all.
No. I my only complaint is it's like it's a good standard beer. There's just nothing exciting about it. Yeah. I do like the nose. The nose is very tropical. But like, there's nothing that stands out about it.
No.
So.
No.
But that doesn't mean it's bad.
Nope.
I'm not saying it's bad. It just is not terribly interesting.
Yeah. You know, and interesting is kind of overrated in some of these things. Sometimes you just want a beer that you know is going to just taste good and you're just going to enjoy it. You don't want it to be weird or something like, oh, this is, oh my, oh, this is new to me.
Put elderberries in a, no, thanks.
Oh, by the way, the episode that we did, Postmodern Spirits, one of our listeners and longtime No Agenda producer, Sir Seat Sitter of Abs in a Six Pack, he loves Postmodern Spirits. He loves their bourbon and their rye. Yeah. So he was excited to hear us talk about that. He does live there in Tennessee. So,
yeah.
So he's a Tennessean. He's a volunteer, is what he is. Because it's volunteer state.
On purpose?
No, it's the volunteer state. That's why. Bad joke.
I know. Did he go to Tennessee?
No. I don't think so.
We went to the Tennessee homecoming. Oh, no. Yeah. Was it homecoming? Yeah. It was homecoming. It was fun.
Yeah, he's got, by the way, if anyone's interested, they're hilarious. It's Abs in a Six Pack, Battle of the Douchebags. He's got like two new episodes out. One is Battle of the Dead Douchebags, so it's all dead people. And the other one is just the normal Battle of the Douchebags. And they take all kinds of cool people that you might feel like is not a douchebag, but they show how they can be a douchebag. So no one's off limits. And it's him and a whole cast of cool No Agenda producers and people who have their own podcasts. It's a good time. So check it out if you want to look something.
How big do we have to get on that list?
To get on Battle of the Douchebags?
Yeah.
As a douchebag?
Yeah.
Be douchey.
Well, I mean, that's kind of the point.
I mean, so I don't know. Have you listened to Battle of the Douchebags?
I just bought a BMW. Does that count?
Yes. Have you listened to Battle of the Douchebags?
No.
So do you know what they do?
I can imagine.
So each one of the hosts that are on there, they have either one or two people that they think is douchey. And so they'll find clips of this person being douchey and they go against another host. So it's, what was it? Mother Teresa versus Martin Luther King Jr. And so they were playing, you know, clips of them saying douchey things or doing douchey things. They make their case. You can vote on Mastodon, on one of the socials on Mastodon, and then there's a winner. And then it goes into, there's round one, and then there's round two, and then they pick a winner, the douchiest person of the episode. It's like a three-hour-long episode. It's really funny, though. And some of the clips, you're like, I can't believe that person said that. So it's actually a really good show. I have been asked to be on there as one of the hosts, so I might do that. But it's a lot of work. These guys do a lot of work. They have to find all these clips. They got to put them down, and they got to kind of fight for it. And it's a good show, though. If anyone's looking for something funny to listen to, it's good.
The show in and of itself is a great show.
Yeah, Sir C. Sitter does a good job. You will be offended. Yeah. If you listen to Abs in a Six Pack, you will be offended if you have no sense of humor.
You're only going to be offended if you get offended easily.
Yeah.
Like, just let it go.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like, I made masturbation references earlier, so now everyone's thinking about my penis. And we just lost a couple listeners. And that's okay.
That's okay. It's not okay. Please donate.
I'll stop talking about masturbation.
What's our beer trivia?
Let's go 1, 2, 3, or 4.
That's right, folks. It's once again time for John Harrison's beer trivia. Three.
Beer trivia. Three.
I picked four last time.
Okay. They're not in the same order. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Beer 101. That's where we're at.
All right. Beer 101.
Cards don't lie. Beer 101, true or false, a growler is 19th. Oh, this is actually pretty good for what we're going to talk about today.
Excellent.
A growler is 19th century slang for a bar bouncer.
False.
False. That is correct.
Yes.
A growler was the usually tin container used to carry out orders of beer from taverns in the late 19th and early 20th century. It was so named because of the sound of carbon dioxide bubbles escaping the vent on the cover as the beer splashed around in the pail. Growlers lasted into the 1960s, although by this time they had become plastic or paper containers. Many American brew pubs now offer large glass bottles of beer to go, also referred to as growlers.
Yep. Or their smaller cousin known as
squealers.
Crowlers. Oh my God. Squealers.
Yeah. The little ones are called squealers.
I thought they're called crowlers. I've heard crowlers.
I don't know. Let's look it up.
Okay.
We don't have to look it up. Do you want another one?
Yeah. Give me one more.
All right. Cause that was hard. That wasn't that a hard one. Okay. Adage rated which beer slogan in the top 10 of all advertising campaigns? This Bud's for you. Tastes great, less filling. Hey Mabel, Black Label from the land of blue waters or sky blue waters.
From the land of sky blue waters. It's probably This Bud's for you.
Oh, that is. Oh, no. Tastes great, less filling.
Oh, is that Miller Lite, right?
Yeah.
Tastes great, less filling.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's right. Advertising Age magazine list of top 100 advertising campaigns of the 20th century rates Miller Lite's 1974 Tastes Great, Less Filling, number 8, whereas This Bud's for You, 1970s, is number 27. Hams from the land of sky blue waters in the 50s is 75. And Hey Mabel, Black Label, that's Carling's. And nobody even knows that.
No, I don't.
From the 40s. I didn't know that. 1982, or it's number 82. Miller campaign was an amazing success. Miller went from shipping 7 million barrels of light beer in 1973 to 31 million barrels in 1978.
Yeah, that's quite a
impressive.
Bit. Yep.
Dang, that's a lot of beers.
So, hey, back to our original question. A growler is a 32 or 64 ounce airtight beer vessel made of glass that functions like a small keg, while a crowler is an oversized 32 ounce airtight sealed aluminum beer can that craft breweries use to package.
The cans.
But a smaller version of the growler is called a howler.
Oh, a howler, not a squealer.
Yeah, and it's about half the size of a normal growler and holds 32 ounces of beer.
Oh, I get it. A half growler.
Yeah.
A howler.
Is a howler. Yep. All in 2002, Oscar Blues Brewery, who we've tasted on the show, in Colorado, partnered with the Ball Corporation to explore new ways of packaging craft beer to solve the problem of shelf life. Their partnership resulted in an on-demand seaming machine prototype that sealed one can at a time to create a hybrid of the beer can and growler. Thus, the Crowler was born in 2002.
Ooh.
By Oscar Blues.
Nice job, Oscar Blues.
Yeah, no kidding. That's cool. And now you know.
Dun, dun, dun.
Bourbon. Okay, now we skipped number two. Is that on purpose?
Yep.
Okay, so now we're doing mystery bottle number three. And this is where John has poured different bourbons, or actually different spirits, excuse me, into glass vials. Okay, don't show me. Put it down.
I'm covering the label.
And
it's like the lady covering her nipples. I'm just doing it with my hands.
Good going back to that reference, buddy. I like that.
It's not the last time.
And they're all numbered, and I get to taste it and see how terrible my palate is, even though I think I know.
Ready?
I am ready. Let's open this baby. Whoa. Ooh. Now you get to make the sexy noises. Oh, the stupid little topper came.
You know the best part about pouring red out of the glasses? I don't know how much a shot is.
Ounce and a half.
Just keep going.
Okay, let's smell this.
All right, my friend.
Oh, that's a whiskey. That's actually a whiskey. Mm-hmm. That is a whiskey. That is a bottom shelfer. This doesn't smell high end.
It's not a bottom shelfer.
Okay. Doesn't smell very high end though.
But it's also not their highest, their fanciest one.
Oh, this is a Wild Turkey product. Smells like a Wild Turkey. Could be wrong. All right. Cheers. It's actually a really nice smell. I mean, you got the oak, it's sweet. It's got a sweet smell to it.
It's pretty hot on the nose. Like there's a lot of alcohol burning off it.
Not for me. And it's a beautiful kind of like a darker amber color. Mm-hmm. Not amber, but like not amber it's as in red, like, but it's like
copper.
Like, yeah, copper. Oh, smells so good. There's a little perfumey hint in there too.
I mean, if I'm being honest, I haven't tasted this in quite a while, and the first nose, which is just mostly alcohol.
Yeah.
now it's like opening up and I'm enjoying it.
Yep.
Definitely has that like husk aroma, like that kind of earthy, almost like a dried palm tree leaf.
Yep.
All right. Cheers.
Cheers. Both bad.
I know. I need a new glass.
Minty.
I'm actually surprised that you haven't guessed what this is. Not what it act. I'm surprised you haven't guessed what style this is, I guess, or what type of whiskey this is. I'm not surprised you don't know what the name of the distillery is.
Yeah, it's not wheat, but it's the mint makes me think rye. But last week I was so positive that I knew it was sherry cask that I feel like, or the last time, I'd be like an asshole defense, if I say this is rye.
That one was like oddly smooth and sweet and really delicious. So I get where you got the sherry cask from.
This taste has the chocolate minty bouquet of a rye when I taste it. Not when I smell it. Mm-mm. It's definitely very good. What is it?
This is Knox Whiskey Works.
Knox
Rye 95.
Hey, it's a nailed rye. It. Okay.
I mean, you would have never got the distillery because I mean, there's no reason you would. They're not widely distributed. But this is a 47.5% or 95 proof rye whiskey. It's actually distilled in Indiana, but they have a tasting room in Knoxville, right down the street from where I got the nudies. It's actually on the same road. It's like two blocks away. And down the way from Postmodern. So,
okay.
Anyway, I just thought it'd be fun to do these at the same time since I got them. What's funny is there are two alcohols that are not actually from Knoxville that I got in Knoxville. Figure that one out.
Where are they from?
It's distilled in Indiana. I think they're new and they do, bottled by Knox Whiskey Works in Knoxville, Tennessee, but I think it's actually distilled in Indiana, it says. Okay. Yeah, distilled in Indiana, bottled in Knoxville. So they must be just getting off the ground.
Yeah.
They're relatively young. I did not buy the one that I actually liked the most because it was pretty expensive. But I did like this one. It's not that I didn't like it because I liked rye, but I had a lot of other bourbons and whiskeys. I didn't have any rye, so I decided to buy this one. And I enjoy it.
Yeah.
So it's a good deal. I love rye whiskeys, though.
This is fantastic.
Let's see. What do we know about Knox Whiskey Works? Mm-mm. Our story. Oh, they have a farmer. River Plains Farm lies in a lovely crook of the Holston River between Strawberry Plains and New Market in Jefferson County, Tennessee.
Nice.
There's a lot of information in here. 100% dedicated to non-toxic farming. That's good news. There's a farm related. I want to go to that farm. They have happy cows. their website's pretty good. Good details. I recommend going there. I don't want to bore you with reading it myself. However, I do think it's worth seeing. They also have a mill. Valentine Mill is locally owned and operated by Clive Shelley and Megan Valentine. We're located just off I-40, blah, blah, blah. Here you will find a variety of items ranging from our own stone ground cornmeal and grits.
Grits.
I love grits. Ooh, this place is cool. This is like an old school mill. Dang, I want to go there. Let's go there.
Can we take a trip? Yeah, we're going.
All right. Let's see. Is the 95 rye on here? Let's see. There it is. Okay. What do they say? Our limited reserve single barrel rye 95 whiskey consists of 95% rye mash bill. Well, that tracks. Aged in American oak, charred number 4 barrels with its sweet and spicy green apple notes
green
in the
apple.
Front end and its toffee butterscotch finish. You'll savor every sip.
Mm. I didn't get either of those.
I didn't either. But
well, listen, we're going to be honest. If anything, we're honest, kids. So
I guess, I mean, I get more. It's like almost a carameled green apple.
Caramel.
Does that make
green
sense?
Apple. I hated those, you by know, the way.
Yeah, I wasn't a big fan of carameled apples either.
I
like caramel and I like apples, but I just don't need them together. They're hard to eat. Pull my teeth out.
No, I don't get it. I don't get it on the smell. I don't get it on the taste. But, you know, to each his own with the tasting, I guess.
Yeah. I don't get the butterscotch. I get the typical rye flavors. Mm-hmm. It's good, though. I like it. I drink a lot of this.
Good job, man.
Nice job. Nice job, Knoxville.
Nice job, Knox Whiskey Works. Mm-hmm. If you're down there in Tennessee, check them out. Especially if you're in the Knoxville area.
Yeah, staff is super friendly. They're the ones that told me about the brewery poker chip, or the distillery poker chip one. Mm-hmm. This is the distillery, brewery, whatever. I think that's where I got that, so that's good. Also, it's like 2 blocks from the hot dog place. Has all the beers. So if like that's where we ended our day, we got hot dogs, grabbed some beers, and went home.
God, that sounds nice.
Yeah, what a day.
Are you ready?
What a day. Yes, let's do it. Trying to channel your inner Disturbed.
Yep. Cackerlack. Cackerlack is our word tonight.
Cackerlack.
Cackerlock.
Cackerlock.
Cackerlock. Lock. Luck.
Cackerlock.
Cackerlock. I hate these. Let's see if the female version is better.
Cackerlock.
Cackerlock.
Cackerlock. Cackerlock. What is cackerlock?
Cackerlock.
That is the dance that a flamingo does to find a mate.
Cackerlock.
Oh, maybe. Maybe. What else? It's cackerlock. Like it's K. It starts with a K. K A K K E R L A K. There's 4 K's in this word.
I don't know. I already guessed. Cackerlock. I think it's a sexy dance a bird does.
Okay. Well, I'll wait till the end and see if John is right. We already know he's wrong because I would have said he's right already.
Yeah. Wait till the end to see if Wes remembers to tell you.
It depends on how deep I am in this whiskey.
Well, I gave you just a little bottle, so you're going to
have to get it back. Yeah, I have like 50 bottles sitting to my left here, so that's not the only thing I'm going to be drinking tonight. So our Balderdash for tonight, there's a real fun radio show. I guess you call it podcast. I found it as a radio show, I think. Anyways, it's called Away With Words. And when the kids were little and we were driving home from school, I would always play Away With Words, and it's two people, they're professionals with words, and they would get words from either viewers or listeners who wrote into them, sent them emails, or left them a voicemail, and they would tell them what the etymology was. And if they really liked your word, and so not only was it words, but it was also phrases as well. So, you know, my grandpa always said, you know, pick your nose before you grab the hose. And I don't know what that means. They would tell him where it came from, or grandpa, I just made it up. It rhymed. And we love the show because it was funny, but it was also like super interesting because we use these words every day. Mm-hmm. And so I thought it'd be interesting if we did an etymology. Because there's balderdash, especially if you play the game, it's all about where a word came from or what it actually means. And we don't really talk about like how we got the word, but you know, there's some examples of that. So, so the first one, and I thought this was, I meant to bring it up earlier, but the word quiz.
Ooh, that's a good start.
Yeah. So the legend has it that the word quiz, was coined by a Dublin theater owner by the name of Richard Daly. And this is around the late 18th century. He made a bet that he could introduce a word into the language within 24 hours. He then instructed his employees to write the word quiz, which was a nonsense term at the time, on the walls all around the city. So he wanted them to go out and graffiti the entire city with this 4-letter word quiz that meant nothing. The word quickly became a topic of conversation and eventually came to mean an odd or an eccentric person, and then later a test of knowledge. So people actually put meaning into this word that was not a word before.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
I mean, can you imagine just seeing something and not knowing what it is, and it's just something that someone made up? Because when I look at the word quiz, it doesn't seem made up to me because I have this whole, 46 years of, maybe hearing that word and understanding what it means in my my culture or context.
It's so ubiquitous, right? Like pop quiz or I'm going to quiz you or whatever. But it's fun. To me, or what's funny night. About it is when, if you think about it, like people saying, what does quiz mean? Well, that's the question, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like everyone's asking what it means, and it's a quiz on what it means, like the play on words. I know I didn't deliver that well.
No, I got it. You did good. But, you did good, buddy. Okay.
Thanks. Well, I took a slightly different approach with a couple of the words that I wanted to pull up, and I went more along the lines of the things we drink, because I think it's interesting to know how these words start.
Yeah.
And the first one I picked was ale, and related to lager. Ale, I find this really interesting that the history of the word is a bit fuzzy. People don't actually know where it started, but originally it just meant it just referred to any alcoholic beverage fermented with malt or fermented from malt. Over time, it turned into things fermented without hops, and then it became any stronger beers, and then it became brewed beer, beer brewed with malt that had not been roasted, which is also interesting to me because now all beer is made with, well, I guess not all beer is made with roasted malt, but it is cooked in a way. That's the malting process.
Yeah.
So anyway, the whole process is a little interesting. It also used to mean like a festival, not just like a drink. And it used to mean an English country festival at which ale is the principal beverage. That's out of a book from 1633. Oh.
So it's just, let's go down to the ale and...
it would be like an event. So
like a beer fest.
Passage out of the book said... And their authorities at wakes and ales with country precedents and old wives' tales, we bring you now to show what different things the coats of clowns are from the courts of kings.
I wish I had some Renaissance music there.
Yeah, that's a different thing.
Yeah, what was that?
That was, I don't know, the Mexican hat dance. Not the same.
Not even in the same country, brother. Brother. That's good. No. I like that.
But nowadays, when you're talking about beer and you refer to ale, you're more closely referring to the way it's fermented.
Yeah.
Ales versus lagers, but also porters and stouts are not considered ales. They're considered a different style of beer, but a lager and an ale. There it is.
Read it again.
Okay. Let me get back to it. And their authorities at wakes and ales with country precedents of old wives' tales. We bring you now to show what different things the coats of clowns are from the courts of kings.
That's fantastic. Good job, man.
Yeah.
I love that.
It's so silly.
I love it.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
Oh, my turn?
Yeah, your turn. bring it on. Unless you want me to keep going because I got a couple other beer ones.
This is good. This is good. This is here we go.
Me and my friends used to feed LSD to this little retarded girl in our neighborhood.
Yeah.
And we'd lock arms around her and go, nightmare, 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 nightmare.
Next. You ever listen to
what horrible human being is
Eric Andre?
Oh my God.
It's terrible. The word is nightmare. Nightmare, 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 nightmare. In Old English, a mare is what? You know this.
A mare?
Yeah.
Is a horse?
Yeah, pretty much. But
a lady horse.
In Old English, it was actually a mythological demon or goblin who torments others with frightening dreams.
Oh.
Isn't that nice? Thus, a nightmare originally referred to the demon's nighttime visits to people's bedrooms.
Oh.
Where it would sit on their chests, suffocating them and bringing them bad dreams.
Ooh, Jesus.
Over time, the meaning shifted to refer to the bad dreams themselves. So nightmare actually used to mean a demon. A mare, which is a demonic thing. I don't know how we got horses. That'd be actually a good one. How'd we get mare from horses, though?
I don't know. Maybe is it spelled different?
No, it's M-A-R-E, right? That's
I think the same
thing. Okay. Yeah, there you go.
maybe because the lady horses are a little rambunctious and cause nightmares for the breeders.
Maybe. Did you like that little clip, though?
They're nice. That was good. Yeah. No, I'm not allowed to say that's okay.
You ever watch that show? Eric Andre's show?
No, I've never even heard of it.
Oh, what's really? It's yeah. so much fun.
I don't have TV. I'm sophisticated.
Feed LSD to this little retarded girl in our neighborhood.
It's yeah. ridiculous. I can't believe this is going on
nightmare,
again.
Nightmare, 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 nightmare.
You can't do that.
It actually cured her retardation.
Oh. I don't think that's true.
So funny. All right. Sorry. We got one.
Go ahead. We did ale. Mm-hmm. Moving on to lager. We referenced before. Lager, by the way, is the most popular style of beer in America. Lager's relatively recent variety of beer, first made in Bavaria around 1600s. The term only dates back to the mid-19th century, though, possibly because of longer traditions of drinking ale in Britain. Blah, 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 blah. Where is it? Lager. this is not what I thought it was. I missed the assignment. I got minus one on this one.
Uh-oh.
Quiz minus. Lager is both a type of beer. It's both a noun and a verb, meaning to store beer during a period of aging, often accompanied by secondary fermentation. I missed the assignment on that one. I was moving really fast. Sorry about that. I was busy selling stuff online.
No, it's fine. I like how all yours are beer.
They're not all.
Okay. Like mine was just random words that I thought, I use this word, I know this word, but I don't ever know the reason why.
I have one more about beer and then we'll move on. So this is a quick one.
Okay.
Do you know where the term cerveza comes from?
No. Actually, I don't.
The term cerveza, which is what you call beer in Spanish, it's the Spanish word for cerveza, comes from the Latin term cervicia, but also means beer.
Is it something vicia would be, is that life?
I don't know. I didn't go that deep. You're asking a lot.
Cervicia. Sarah would be not sun, would it? Don't want to spill my whiskey here. Sarah.
Singular, plural. Saccharomyces cerevisiae is a non-colonizing yeast. This means that it does not adhere to the intestinal walls, limiting the risk of candidiasis. Okay. So it's the Latin word for the yeast that you use to brew beer.
Nice.
Or part of it.
Nice. Avocado. The word avocado comes from the Nahuatl word. I can't even pronounce it. We're going to do this. This is pronunciation.
Fail.
Ahuacatu. Which means, guess what it means? You probably know this.
I don't know.
Testicle.
Oh.
This is likely
tree testicle.
This is likely a reference to the shape of the fruit and the fact that it was considered to possess aphrodisiac qualities by the Aztecs.
Ooh, yeah, put it in your mouth.
Spanish explorers could not produce ahuacatl and change it to aguacate, which eventually became avocado in English.
Ooh.
Yeah, testicles, aphrodisiac.
I like that. How'd you decide on avocado? Were you in your kitchen and you're like, I love lamp.
Yep, I love lamp. And then I was lamp. Like, I wonder what lamp means. And how did we get the word lamp?
I love testicles. And so you search the origin of testicles. And then Google asks you, do you mean tree testicles?
Well, as a good 40-something-year-old man, I check my testes for lumps. And there's usually only two. I try to make sure there's not three. That's what I'm looking for.
Well, did you have a vasectomy?
Yes.
Do you got the little peas?
I got the peas? Nope, I don't have peas.
So like with mine, they put a little dab of glue in between the tube where they cut it to keep them from growing back together. Cause that's apparently a really,
tube?
Enjoy. Yeah, like where they do the snip, they put a glue in between them to keep them from growing back together, because that's the biggest reason that vasectomies fail, is our bodies are pretty amazing and they'll grow back and let the little swarmish through.
No, I don't. Checking right now.
I'm gonna turn off video.
I didn't feel them. I'll check it later when they're a little looser. But
it's kind of like on the underside, on your undercarriage a little bit.
But undercarriage.
Anyway.
All right.
Moving on.
Moving on.
Testies. here's one for you.
Okay.
Comrade.
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 There's lots of different versions or origins of this, but here we go. In the 1590s, met one who shares the room. I'll go up a little higher. It's interesting how the word comrade is considered a non-neutral term, whether it's a veteran recalling his time spent as old army comrades or used among the political left. Its origins point to it being more widely applicable. In 1590s, it meant one who shares the room, hence a close companion. From French, camarade, from Spanish, camarada, meaning chambermate, or Italian, camarata, a partner, from Latin, camera, or meaning vaulted room or chamber, Spanish, a collective noun referring to one's company. In the 17th century, sometimes jocularly misspelled camarogue, used in 1884 by socialists and communists as a prefix to surnames to avoid Mr. and other such titles. Also related, camaraderie or comradeship. With this consideration, you could call any of your cohabitants comrade, and it's perfectly acceptable to use it for your partner, no matter what your politics are.
Oh, all right. All right. Well, there was that video of the, I think it was some Nevada city council meeting or something like that, some city in Nevada where they wanted to refer to everyone as comrade during it. And then people would get up and do point of references about pronouns and then point of references about not clapping. Cause some people here are autistic and they don't like the clapping, and everyone kept getting up, giving point of references to how they would wish that everyone else would act. And it's a pretty funny clip. And it's not meant to be funny, but as you can see, everyone's like, all of a sudden, it's like, whoa, I want my thing. And so they all get up and like, oh, well, we have to make sure we do all of this. And they just lose control. My word is clue.
People are weird.
Yeah. Yes. Originally spelled clue, C-L-E-W. This word referred to a ball of thread or yarn. So its modern meaning comes from the myth of Theseus, who used a ball of thread to navigate the labyrinth after killing the Minotaur. So as he unraveled the clue, the yarn, he was able to trace his path back out of the labyrinth. And thus, a clue became something that leads one out of a difficult or confusing situation.
Ooh.
You got your ball of clue?
Got my ball of clue.
I love that game. Love the movie. The movie is a classic movie. It's funny.
Yes, it is.
Great comedians in it.
Also, one of the most clever movie releases ever.
I don't remember the release.
The way they released it in the theater, like you've watched it on video, right? Yep. Like at home.
Yeah.
And it has three different
HBO
three different
when endings. I was like a kid or whatever. Oh yeah. Yep, yeah, that's right.
It has three different endings. Yep. So when they released it in the theaters, you didn't actually know what ending would, they didn't do all three. They just did one. But you didn't know which version you would get when you went and watched it in the movie.
Oh, yes. That's awesome.
So like, it was like such a, they had three separate endings and it was just like random which one you would get if you went to it. So you could go to it more than once and see a slightly different movie.
That's awesome.
Like, it was like the most clever thing. That's why there's three endings. It's not because they wanted to be like, this is could have, whatever.
Yeah.
No, it was like a campaign of like, even the actors didn't know which one would be the actual ending when it was released.
Oh, that's the best, dude.
It's just so good.
That's the best. Oh, people don't do, we don't do that anymore.
No. We just spent a bunch of money on CGI. And
every person in this room has the perfect motive.
Step back!
For murder.
What do you mean?
Murder.
Murder.
What do you mean?
Suspect is the murderer. Is it the timid Mr. Green?
Why are you screaming?
Because I'm frightened.
What?
Screaming.
Or the militant Colonel Mustard?
If I was the killer, I would kill you next. Huh? Said if.
Mrs. White, who helped her husband on his way.
What's a matter of life after death? Now that he's dead, I have a life.
Miss Scarlet, who's helped many men along the way.
Practice makes perfect.
Professor Plum, who's looking.
Christopher Lloyd's in this?
I'm looking.
Peacock.
I forgot so about good. That. Martin Mole. Yeah,
Christopher Lloyd's like the horny guy that's trying to get with the maid.
Yeah. Tim Curry, of course. Do it.
Love Tim Curry.
I do too.
Paramount Pictures invite you to an evening of mystery.
Oh, I have to watch this with Nathan. We love watching classic films.
I bet Tim Curry films, like from a movie marathon standpoint for Christmas time, Tim Curry movies would be a good one.
I did not like Rocky Horror Picture Show. I've never liked Rocky Horror Picture Show.
That's fine. That wouldn't have to be on the list, though. Like, he was Pennywise.
Yes, I love that. He was great in that.
You know, like, there's a handful of movies he's been in that are pretty fantastic. So, yeah. Rocky Horror Picture Show is, like, hit or miss for me. I know people love it, and I think that if you go to it and engage in the nonsense and, like, just kind of let yourself go a little bit, it can be pretty fun. But I also found a lot of those people that were really, really into it in high school obnoxious. So, sorry, Jeff.
You asshole.
Yeah, what a ding.
Tim Curry. Let's see. Let's list his movies. Rocky Horror Picture Show, Long Drive Home. Let's see, which ones would we know him from? He did a lot of, like, kid stuff. He's always in, like, kid stuff. He mm-hmm. played a great serial killer in, what was that TV show where they tracked serial killers all the time? Criminal Minds. Dude, his
oh, that's right. He was a long-time character. He wasn't, like, a one-episode character.
Yeah, creepy. He was very creepy in that.
They had, like, fucked up teeth.
Yeah. Yeah, like, he was just, like, dirty. He looked like a homeless guy basically went around and killing people.
Yeah, so good.
Yeah, I wish they don't have, like, his movies. They got, like, everything here. I just want to see his movies. I just want to know.
We just got to search for him. Search Tim Curry movies.
Well, I'm doing that right now. I'm doing it in his.
He was in Annie and It and Legend.
Oh, Legend. That was a good one. Annie, of course. Oh, that's right. He was Rooster.
Yeah.
That was great.
Let's see. Oh, he was a voice in Beauty and the Beast.
Was he? Which one?
Let's see. What did he play? He was Forte. Who's Forte?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't remember. Let's see. What Lumiere, Bell, Beast. Who's Forte? I don't know.
I don't know. Question.
I don't know. I'm drawing a blank on that one.
I think his ones that are most, of course, the most, the ones that everyone remembers is It. Everyone knows him from It. And I think Clue is a big one that everyone knows him from. Annie. I guess he was in Congo. Do you remember that movie, Congo?
I do. That wasn't a great film.
No, the book was better, actually. Was that Michael Crichton? I was like one of those.
Sounds right.
Yeah. Was he Duckman or was he in Duckman? That was a good cartoon. That was pretty funny.
He was in Over the Top, not to be confused with Over the Top with Sylvester Stallone. Oh,
yeah. Are you sure? He didn't arm wrestle.
I'm looking at the cover of this movie, and I guarantee it's not the same movie.
Oh, that's so funny. What's your next word?
Muscle.
Muscle. Oh, yes. I'd love to know the story of Muscle.
Muscle. Far cry from the world's strongest man, the origin of the word muscle is perhaps the most surprising.
Oh.
Muscle, contractible animal tissue consisting of bundles of fibers. That's the definition. Or in 14th century, it meant a muscle of the body, a Latin for musculus, a muscle, literally a little mouse.
Oh.
Diminutive of muse? Or mouse. Rather than relating to the strength and brawn as we understand it, muscle is derived from the appearance of muscle under the skin, particularly the biceps, which were thought both in Latin and in Greek to resemble a mouse running beneath the skin.
Oh, there you go.
So it really relates more to the movement of your muscles under your skin.
Yeah, than the actual muscle. Huh. I love that. I didn't know that. How about the word salary?
Oh, yeah. Tell me.
This word comes from the Latin salarium, which referred to the payments made to Roman soldiers for the purchase of salt, an essential and expensive commodity at the time. Over time, salarium became salary, referring to money paid to employees for their service.
Ooh, like that. one of my favorites that I think I like this because it's often misunderstood, or like people like to say that people like to make arguments using words that they don't actually understand the origins of. And one is woman. And like a lot of Christians will use it as like the wife of a man, as like the man wife is in charge. Of
man.
Yeah. And it loosely gets there at some point. But the reality is like the misconception is that man meant men, And the original English version of man meant people.
Yep.
So a wife man or a womb man really meant a female person.
Yep.
Not an owner or somebody who's owned by somebody else or a wife of a man, the way that people like to argue that it meant.
Yep.
I just think it's interesting that like we use these words. This is a common theme in our conversations, is so people use misconceptions or misunderstandings of things to try to prove a point of how they're right.
Yep.
Without actually understanding where things come from.
That's true. This is why it's important to understand the words that you're saying. Words have meanings. Words have purpose. Words mm-hmm. have power. So understanding where words come from and what words are, what they mean, what they really mean, is actually very, very important. The word I have here is ostracize. So in ancient Athens, citizens could vote to banish or exile somebody. So what they would say, or what they so they can exile them based off of if they saw them as really a threat to the state. Mm-hmm. So they cast. Votes were cast by writing the names of a person on a piece of pottery called an ostracon, was the name of the pottery. So if enough votes were cast, that person would then be ostracized, meaning sent away for actually 10 years is how long they had to be sent away. So hence, ostracized now means to exclude someone from a group or society. But they had a limit, which I thought was interesting too, like 10 years, man. Like
I like that. That's defined. Like,
come back in 10 years.
Go away. 10 years. After 10 years, we forgot.
Yeah. Or, you know, you've learned your lesson.
I mean, nobody lived past 20 back then. So that was like half the population's been turned over.
Yeah. I think most of our founding fathers of this country were in their late teens, early 20s.
Well, yeah. Like 40. Well, remember, like the Constitution says you have to be 35 to be president. That was considered old.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And it wasn't, if I remember it, it wasn't because they were like, you have to be old enough to understand shit. It was like, you're basically like retired.
Yep.
Yes. So, I mean, maybe 80 is the new retired. So, I mean, Trump and Biden are right in there.
I'm tired of these old guys, John.
I know.
I'm so tired.
Yeah, so were they. How do you think they feel?
Yeah, but I don't get the meth they get.
All right. Speaking of old people running our country, disaster.
Ooh.
Meaning anything that befalls of ruinous or distressing nature. From the Latin word, or from French disastre, or Italian disastro.
Disastro. I think wasn't he one of the enemies on...
Disastro.
On G.I. Joe.
G.I. Joe. No, that was Destro.
Destro. Thank you.
Yeah.
Disastro.
From the Latin... Italian from il starred, from dis, here merely pejorative equivalent to the English miss or ill, plus astro, star, or planet. Latin of astrum, or Greek astron, star.
Oh.
The origin of the word points to unfavorable events being blamed on certain planet positions.
Oh.
Destiny is written in the stars in some conceptions of fate in mythology. The universe is fixed and inevitable.
I like that.
So like it all comes from like star words and like ill-fated stars.
Bad star.
Interesting.
Bad star. Yeah, that is actually really good. Lunatic. Stemming from the Latin lunaticus, which means of the moon. Ancients believed that madness was influenced by the phases of the moon. Thus, a lunatic originally referred to someone who went mad due to the moon's influence. This is pre-devil made me do it. This is the moon made me do it. Oh, it's
the moon made me do it.
Yeah. Probably mostly, you know, women probably use this one a lot.
You know, no, you take it easy there.
Because they're cycle.
No, I think men like to blame things on women a lot and say it's, oh, is it your,
no,
is it
shark? No.
Is it shark week?
Yeah. Is it shark week? You shouldn't be in the water.
There's blood everywhere.
There's blood everywhere. There you go. Atta kid. join the party.
I don't want to.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. You just don't want to get in trouble.
No, I'm already in trouble. All right. Ellen doesn't listen to Paul's podcast. She's way too busy.
Yeah.
And doesn't listen to our podcast anymore.
Because that Wes.
Yep. She'll listen when she has time. She's just been
very busy. She is very busy. Yeah.
But we have road trips and adventures coming up, so we'll probably put it on in the car.
Oh, awesome. Hi, Helen.
She likes to hear my voice even when she's forced to.
I don't believe that. Dana doesn't.
Actually, Helen enjoys it, and she likes calling me out on it. She helped us get better very early on, so I appreciate her
feedback. I would hate it if Dana was criticizing me while listening to this podcast. No, it's not meant to be serious. I don't want to listen.
No, not criticizing, but there are small, subtle things that you can change and improve, and it's like some of it's constructive and some of it's like, you know, you're being a real dick. Like playing clips of somebody talking about giving drugs to a retard.
Yeah. And then
we're
saying,
not supposed to use that word.
Nightmare, 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 nightmare.
Yeah. It's terrible.
But John, anyway, does it help that it cured her retardation?
That's a lie. There's no way that's true.
Of course it's not. If you ever watched the Eric Andre show, you would understand that. This is crazy nonsense.
I'm not sure I'm going to. But anyway, back to the stars.
Yes.
One of the things that I always find very fascinating is like these, I like watching Ancient Aliens and like these like weird history shows and awesome. Like the history is not what I think it's interesting. The connections they make. I don't believe most of it.
Yeah.
But there are some weird things around our planet, but I find it really fascinating how they go into this. Like they use like our knowledge of the stars, like individually mm-hmm. to like say, well, we have all this technology and we only kind of know the stars and they had this advanced understanding of the stars. There must have been aliens or there's something else. But like you missed the point that like these cultures were watching the sky for like 500 years every night. They didn't have cell phones or TVs or computers. They were just like sun's down, lights come up, I watch them. And if you watch them long enough, you start to see the pattern. Like even if you just spend a week camping, you're like same star every night. Mm-hmm. There goes the moon mm-hmm. every night. You know, it's like over time, it's not a stretch to think that somebody might start paying attention to that and tracking where they're coming up and then thinking, you know, I mean, back then, a lot of people were superstitious and you didn't know what they were. They were just little lights in the sky. And, you know, somebody probably decided that they could make money off telling people that they were gods. And they started doing that. And then, you know, Greek mythology was started.
Yep. That's good.
Something like that.
Yeah. I believe it.
It's all about money. Follow the money.
Speaking of money, mortgage.
Do it. Mortgage.
This will be our last one because we're already past an hour.
Well, I got one good one.
Okay, we'll do yours and then I'll do mine. You do yours, and then that's great. Mortgage is from the old French mort gage, meaning dead pledge. It refers to the deal that refers to the deal that dies either when the debt is paid or when payment fails. A rather grim way to think about property loans.
That's why you always say, if you have a mortgage, you don't own your house. The bank does.
Yep. Until you pay it off or until it dies. You die. It's a dead pledge. That's right. What's yours?
Bluetooth.
Oh, yes. I actually want to know this.
Yeah. Some people might know this, especially if you're a little bit of a tech nerd, but Bluetooth is pretty mm-hmm. ubiquitous today, and it's not just a clever name for things. It actually has an origin. Bluetooth is the name Bluetooth dates back more than a millennium to King Harald Bluetooth Gormson, who was well known for two things: uniting Denmark and Norway in 1598.
This isn't true.
And his dead tooth, which was a dark blue gray color, this and earned him the true. Nickname Bluetooth. It's absolutely true.
Are you kidding me?
In 1996, industry leaders Intel, Ericsson, and Nokia met to plan the standardization of the short-range radio technology to support the connectivity, collaboration between different products and industries. During their meeting, Jim Kardash from Intel suggested Bluetooth as a temporary code name for the project. Kardash was later quoted as saying, King Harald Bluetooth was famous for uniting Scandinavia, just as we intended to unite the PC and cellular industries with a short-range wireless link. Bluetooth was only intended as a placeholder until marketing could come up with something really cool.
That's awesome.
Isn't that awesome?
That is awesome. It's a dead tooth.
Yeah, a dead tooth. And that's why, like, if you look at the Bluetooth logo, it's a crown.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. Oh, my God.
Like, right?
Dude, that's good job, John. Good job. I love that.
It's a good one, right?
Yeah, that's good.
One of my favorite tidbits. I love that bit.
Yep. I'm gonna make sure once I get the chapters working again, Blueberry, that one is specifically signed up. So we're going to do our music for the night. Oh, sorry.
Quick correction. I always thought it was a crown. I didn't read far enough in this article.
Yeah.
The Bluetooth logo is a bind rune merging the younger Futhark runes, Hoggle, and Jorkin Harald's initials. Oh, it's the king's initials.
Oh, even
put
better.
That's one logo.
It's a rune, though.
It's a rune. It's two runes put together.
Well, that's kind of interesting because in that same area of Finland, there is this grunge rock band named Polanski. Now, if you look up Polanski online, make sure you put Polanski the band because otherwise you'll get all of Roman Polanski's pedophile news, which we're not into. But what's funny is that the song I chose, and I just thought about it just now, the song's title is Modern Child by Polanski. I hope you enjoy this.
Whoops.
Polanski, John.
I like that.
Dude, that's badass, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, you can find them on LN Beats, Wavelake, any kind of basically value for value music website. And I suggest that during that song, you go back, you hit the rewind on our podcast here, and you boost them. And
we should remind people before the song to boost.
We don't have to
remind them after, and they don't have to go back.
Shoot, John. Should we just play it again and then we'll just, now that we told them, or should we just go ahead and just...
We can play it as an outro. Put people
out of their misery right now.
No, we'll fix it next time. Our listener isn't, I don't think, is going to dive in. Their loyal ones will boost good music.
I hope they do. Well, folks, we thank you so much for listening to our nonsense, our balderdash. Thanks. I actually have a lot more to go as far as these etymology words, but we try to keep it, you know, around an hour or so. So maybe we'll do a part two sometime. We can keep it and do a part two sometime. We are a value for value show, like I just talked about, and that means we value your time, treasure, and your talent. We have a Substack as well, in which you can subscribe to at beerbourbonbalderdash.substack.com. We have an Instagram at Beer Bourbon Balderdash, and that's pretty much where I put anything is on that Instagram. Yeah, and we would appreciate any comments. So we love, like, when Kyron, you know, talks to us through Fountain. I love it when Craig does. And Jen and Indy, thanks for chatting. Thanks for being part of the conversation here. We love that. Yeah. John and I, most of all, just want to reach out and, like, kind of, like, build a community. We're almost at 100 episodes, so we're here to stay. And we're going to do some more. And we just want you to participate.
Yep. And follow our mailing list so we can, like, one of the things we want to try to do is make sure to get out what we're going to be drinking ahead of time.
Yeah.
So people can drink along. In this case, it's probably challenging for most listeners, but Tim does have a can of this beer at home.
Nice.
So I'll send him a note before this comes out, and he can drink along with us.
Yeah. And Trina and Adam might have, but Adam drank them all. So, they can't taste it.
I wasn't going to say that out loud. Hopefully you liked it, Adam.
I think he liked every single one of them. I think Adam likes your beer taste, John.
Oh, I like Adam, so that's good.
Yeah, there you go.
It could be buddies.
Yeah, the Balderdash word of the night means cockroach. It's a Dutch word that means cockroach, but it's also an Afrikaan word that means cockroach, because most Afrikaan is Dutch anyways. So it's cockroach.
Cockroach.
Cockalock. Cockalock is cockroach.
Cock-a-lock. I don't know if that counts. That's not really fair.
An Afrikaan or Dutch.
It's like, why? Picking other... I mean, I guess I did German words, so...
Yeah.
I guess that's fair.
Yeah. Well, remember, the whole point of Balderdash is that you guess what the meaning is, and that's what's funny.
Yeah. Maybe we should try to focus on words that people might actually know.
Okay. Now, Nathan found a cool game that we play now on Sundays called Ransom Notes. Look it up.
Ransom Notes.
Ransom Notes.
All right, let's do it.
Our music tonight was Polanski Modern Child. Our beer tonight was Nudie's Honky Tonk West Coast IPA. The bourbon was Knox Whiskey Works.
Rye 95.
Thanks, John.
Thanks, Wes.
Thanks, John.
Fuck.
Mm.
God, gross. Ugh.